Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
It's true. And before we actually talk about serums today, we have a few reminders. You can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mention on the show. Please do follow us on Twitter at forever35pod, on Instagram at forever35podcast. You may join the Forever 35 Facebook group where the password is serums. There is an extensive list of spinoff groups. You have to find something that suits your fancy.
I was actually just in the document listing all the subgroups like about 30 minutes ago. And it's wild.
It's wild. It's very it's amazing. Wild. So go do that. You can also sign up for our newsletter at forever35podcast.com/newsletter. You can call and text us at 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com. And I just want to remind everyone that you have less than 2 weeks to pre-order my book and register for the happy hour that Kate and I are doing on June 7th. So get on that and then head on over to dori-shafrir.com and register. It's free. All you have to do is pre-order my book in any format from any retailer. We always love an independent bookstore purchase, but we understand it's not possible for everyone. So any retailer, any format.
And if you get the audiobook, you're going to hear Dori reading her book.
You will hear my dulcet tones. You may pre-order the audiobook. We love Libro.fm. You can pre-order from there. So, you know, Kate, we actually do have a promo code with Ye Olde Libro.fm. And it is Libro.fm/redeem/Forever35. And the fun thing about Libro.fm is a portion of their sales go to independent bookstores.
I like it.
I like it too.
I like it a lot.
So if you're an audiobook person, check it out. That's how I listen to my audiobooks.
Me too. That's how I'm going to listen to you read to me.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I've already pre-ordered the book, but maybe I'll also get the audiobook just to really dory it up a little bit in my life.
Oh, that's so nice.
Can't get enough of you.
I mean, likewise. Anyway, how's it going? I promised we were going to talk about serums, and you have some serum news. So
I do. Okay. You know, the folks at Vintner's Daughter have been very kind and generous in sending me their products occasionally. And they just very kindly sent me both their essence and their serum. And I really like their products, as has been mentioned on the show. And, you know, their products have a very high price point. So, you know, kind of making them not accessible for a lot of people or like a big splurge. And what I was thinking is, what if I used my face as an experiment and I did a 30-day Vintner's Daughter challenge? where I only used, let me say this with a caveat, I'm going to kind of build out a smaller skincare regimen, but I just thought, why don't I just use these two products on my face after cleansing and see what happens? So that would be their active treatment essence and then their active botanical serum. And then after 30 days, I would report back on what, if anything, had happened. Now, we're not doing this in conjunction with them. They don't know about this. And I feel like I've pitched something like this to myself before, but have never followed through. But Evan, I have, right?
I love the idea of pitching something to yourself.
Been like, Kate, here's an idea. But yeah. I mean, I think I've like even said this on this here podcast. But like, I was just looking at the products. It's, you know, it's two products. So I was like, I could scale down to a cleanser, this active botanical, their essence and their serum, and just see what that's like to live 30 days with like three steps. And then, of course, sunscreen. With the caveat that I am probably going to want to exfoliate once a week and also have an extra moisturizer on hand in case I feel like the serum is not enough. So I have embarked on this journey today, Dory. And I started this morning.
Hey.
Yeah.
And?
Oh, everything's changed. My face is completely different.
Wow.
I'm a new one. No, everything
That's
is the
exciting.
Same. My skin feels amazing. I'm probably going to keep a couple cleansers on hand too, depending on how my skin is feeling. Mm-hmm. But I was really thinking like I would empty out my medicine cabinet. I'm overflowing with products. Look, a blessing from doing this show, but So I was gonna give that a go. Vintner's Daughter describes their active treatment essence as a hydrating formula that delivers radiance and renewal to all skin. So I've started that today. And then their serum is a face oil, which has 22 botanicals in it. So it's a lot. So here we go. Here goes Kate on this journey.
This is exciting.
Because I do feel like, you know, it helps when, especially when these products are at such a high price point, it helps to have someone speak to the experience before you dip a toe, you know? You don't want to dip that toe. If you
want to dip that toe.
Like, you got to, before you dip, you got to know what you're dipping into. So I will say, oh, Dory, I've been teaching my kids how to wash their faces.
Oh,
my oldest is having some pimples. She's going through puberty. And then they both like to play with makeup and like experiment. And yesterday we had a party for 30 minutes where we dressed up and danced outside. And they both
Cute.
Put on like full faces of makeup. So we washed our face after. And like, I realized it's the thing that we've done for so long that I'm just like, yeah, just put it on and put it on the washcloth and like scrub around. And they like don't get the concept. So I've been teaching them how to wash their face. And we all washed our face with Vanicream's Gentle Cleanser. And then I used a hydrating moisturizer from e.l.f. And it was very nice. So I was like, well, this combo's nice too. Maybe I got to just do this Vanicream e.l.f. combo.
That's so nice.
Mm-hmm. They've got a Vanicream and a CeraVe in their bathroom. That's what I'm working with them on.
Oh, yeah. What a nice like bonding thing.
It was actually kind of fun, I have to say. Like, we were all in there and I was like, I'll do it too so you can see what it's like. And it was really sweet.
That's really sweet.
Although we did use a like you know, like a cleansing balm first to double cleanse because they had so much makeup on. They were just like, it's all over my skin. And I was like, yes, that's how it's supposed to. Like, they just, it's like, well, welcome to this part of life if you choose to explore it. So anyways, that's what I'm up to with this in the skincare zone. I will check back in about 2 weeks and then I'll give you an update in 4 weeks. And you know what? I'll share a photo on Instagram. Yeah, I'll share a photo so you can kind of see what other products I'm throwing around in this situation just to have on hand. But otherwise, I'm cleaning out the closet. I'm going to even like put my retinol away for a month and see what happens.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. know, you know, why not have fun with my face? It's not like the world's going to end if I don't use retinol for a month.
That's true.
So
that is true.
You, Dory, had some self-care that you haven't had in a while.
Yes. So
how did it feel?
Oh, it felt amazing. So we're talking about venturing out into the world. Now that we are fully vaxxed and now that more and more people are also fully vaxxed.
And the CDC
and
was like,
CDC masks, was like,
who needs them?
The CDC was like, go party.
Go wild, everybody. Have fun.
So, you know, I'd gone out to dinner, including with Kate Spencer.
Mm-hmm. We're going again soon.
We are going again soon. I'd gone out to a few dinners, with, you know, kind of one-on-one, 3-person dinner, but just a few dinners. But I hadn't like gone to someone's house and hung out inside. And I did that last night.
Okay, take us on this journey. Were you nervous before? Did you start masked? Like, how did it go?
You know, it kind of felt like there's this new like consent protocol.
Yes, which I think is like a fantastic thing for us to model. So,
yes,
I'm into it.
When we were texting, the person whose house we were going to, our initial plan had been to sit outside, but I was like, I'm not going to be able to get there until 7:30 after Henry's bedtime. How do people feel about hanging out indoors? And everyone was like, I feel fine about that. And then it was like, someone else was like, are we eating? Like, what's happening? And everyone was like, we're eating. So I feel like we had kind of like set the ground rules beforehand. We all obviously knew we were all vaccinated and like way past the 2-week window. So I felt pretty confident going into it. And the thing that was just so nice that I was like reflecting on afterwards was how normal it felt. And it was just so nice to be like, sitting around a table with 3 friends eating pizza and like chatting, you know, like it was just these very simple things that we used to totally take for granted.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't we take them for granted? But that we haven't done, or I haven't done in over a year. So that was really nice. And it made me excited for more hanging out in the future.
That sounds amazing.
It was pretty great. I'm not going to lie.
I'm so happy you got to do that. And I'm happy it feels good, you know, because I know there's a lot of stress and anxiety kind of in the re-entering portion of this. And also, like, you know, different states are having different guidelines. And here in California, like, we're not all doing exactly what the CDC has said. Like, it's so kind of, it's overwhelming, the information and the differences.
Totally.
And so for it to feel so positive, also pizza.
No, and it was really good pizza.
Oh, pizza is the best food. Yeah. Can you tell I have my period right now?
All right. Well, let's take a break.
Well, Dory, when we come back, we have a really fun interview, if I do say so myself. Not to toot our own horn, but we had a blast. We interviewed Kristen Conger and Caroline Irvin of the amazing podcast Unladylike. And the 4 of us just gabbed it up.
We really did.
We had so much fun. We do talk about skincare products. We talk about the politics of wellness. I mean, we just get into it.
We really do. And we will be on Unladylike in a few weeks. So
yeah, so stay tuned for us.
Be sure to check that out.
They're wonderful and their podcast is fantastic. So
yeah,
we are excited to share our conversation with them after the break.
Yeah. All right. Be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Well, we are very excited because today we've got two guests. We've got two podcast teams, a quartet of work wives. Our guests today are the hosts of Unladylike,
Kristen Conger and Caroline Irvin, and we're going to kick off with their bios, and then we will just get in. We'll just open the door and jump into our conversation because we have a lot to talk about. Kristen is an established voice on 21st century women, gender, and feminism, and she prides herself in educating, inspiring, and making folks laugh at the same time. Whether on the page, on stage, on camera, or in the podcast studio, she sees no stereotype too superficial, no inequality too insurmountable, and no topic too taboo to confront with credibility and candor, which, editorial note for me, you both do so well on your show. And her favorite animal is her multi-poo rescue, Brewster. And Caroline is a research-driven feminist investigator, always on the hunt for the hidden histories of women who've changed the world. An editor by training, Caroline employs her print journalism background in her new media approach to educating audiences about health, history, and pop culture through a gendered lens. And she also loves corgis, Otis Redding records, and strong gin and tonics. And their podcast and Unladylike Media is really, you've really kind of, I don't want to say become an empire, but I do want to say that about your show. I mean, you've really carved out such an amazing space in discussing the experience of women in culture through this really intersectional feminist lens. And it's a really, you've created such a great community through your show. It's been such a pleasure getting to be a listener.
I know. I'm just basking in this because I mean, having admired y'all from afar and watching you build the Forever 35 empire, I mean, I guess I'd say the feeling is mutual.
Aw. Oh, well, is so this nice. Is just delightful.
This is going to be a sleepover vibe today. So, you know, we start just about every episode of our show asking guests about a self-care practice. So if you each wouldn't mind starting there and whatever that means to you, because you've had some really interesting discussions about self-care on your show. So we're both really excited to kind of talk to you more about it. But what is for each of you one practice that you do on a daily basis or a regular basis that contributes to your self-care?
I would have to say that in general, on a large scale, I am not great at practicing any deep self-care, but on a smaller, like day-to-day basis, every morning, I take, after my coffee, I make sure to take like 30 minutes to like quietly drink coffee. And then every day I spend another like 20 minutes brushing my teeth and applying all of my skincare, putting all sorts of lotions on my face to make me feel better, emotionally, if not look better physically. We have yet to see whether they really pay off. But yeah, just taking that little bit of time with my serums in the morning is probably my standard self-care.
When you say you drink coffee quietly, are you looking at your phone or is it like a morning practice where you're just like me, the cup, together?
Okay, so I aspire to one day have it be me and the cup. But in reality, it is me and the cup and Twitter, sometimes Instagram, sometimes Zillow.
Oh, Zillow. Looking at Zillow is its own form of self-care, as I can attest.
Yeah, or punishment, depending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
is true.
I don't know about y'all, but both the rental and the real estate markets in Atlanta are bananas. And it's fun, though, to dream.
Yeah, it's pretty rough out here.
It's bad. I do a lot of like looking at houses in Palm Springs, you know, like, or I'll do a lot of like, what's going on in my hometown? Let's look at the just weird. I don't know what it is, but yes, I get that. I get that urge. Well, we will dig more into your list of serums, but we do want to hear from Kristen about a self-care practice.
So I do want to quickly say about the serums of it all, which we can come back to. I cannot indulge in serums and masks in a self-care kind of way like I used to, because my face has been visited by an intruder called perioral dermatitis.
Mm.
And I am basically allowed to use nothing on my face. So that is not my self-care right now. Although I guess maybe taking antibiotics for it, I guess, is a form of self-care.
Yeah.
But in terms of daily self-care, I try to make myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day for lunch, Monday through Friday, which sounds maybe like the opposite of self-care. Maybe it sounds like deprivation to just be giving myself the gift of a sandwich. But working from home, it's so easy for the hours to just all bleed one into the other and to have no structure in the day. And it took me longer than I'd like to admit to realize that, oh, I need to actually carve out time to stop and feed myself something that will then get me, keep me going. And the thing that I have found is just the simplicity of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because it gives me a little protein, a little sugar, a little carb, and it doesn't take so much time that I can somehow make an excuse to just not do it. So it's just a small way that I try to set myself up for success in my day to day. And in addition to that, although I don't do it every day, I have, ever since we did an Unladylike episode last year on weightlifting, talking to a lot of really ripped women, and I have discovered the joy of getting stronger, like exercising to build strength and not worrying about like the calorie burning of it all, doing a bunch of cardio. I now when I do push-ups, I hate them, but I like being able to feel strong. So there's that.
That's really cool.
And by lifting weights, I do mean a pair of 8-pound dumbbells.
Right. Hey.
That's it.
Whatever works.
Those are hard. I was lifting 10-pound weights yesterday. I've also kind of gotten into weightlifting and strength training and focusing on like focusing on strength as opposed to like calories and weight loss, which is would have been, you know, which I've spent, you know, 20 years of my life thinking about. And even, you know, what we consider less like lighter weights, they're hard. The second you get going, it's a lot of work. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's helped. I think it has improved my relationship with my body. And it's derailed some of that instinct towards, weight loss. And, especially getting older, on the cusp of my 37th birthday, you know, things are changing, things are settling in different places, and I don't want to spend the rest of my life fighting it. So I feel like it's a healthier way to feel better about myself.
I love that.
So are y'all hearing, there's a thunderstorm happening outside. So
that is what I'm hearing.
I do hear it. Yes. That's okay. I mean, we can't change the weather.
Wait, y'all can't do that?
I mean, if only. I wish Sammy can. Could. Sammy could figure it out. They know how to do it.
One thing that we didn't talk about in your bios is that you both were the founders of the Stuff Mom Never Told You podcast, which was a pioneer, let's just say it. And you hosted it for 6 years before starting Unladylike Media in 2018. And I'd love for you both to just talk about kind of why you decided to strike out on your own and what has the experience of running a company together been like for you?
Well, Kristen, you actually started Stuff Mom Never Told You in what, 2008 or 9?
2009.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So even earlier than the two of you were doing it together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so to the question of why we decide to strike out on our own, to be totally honest, it was a lot of it was driven by the fact that we wanted to sort of put our money where our mouths were. That doesn't sound quite right, but we spent a lot of time on the podcast talking about feminism and knowing your worth and claiming your space and all of this stuff. And around 2015, 2016, we really started realizing that we were making a lot of podcasts that we didn't own. When we left the job, we had to walk away from everything that we had built. And by that point, it was hundreds of podcast episodes. We had a whole YouTube channel, so hundreds of videos, all of our social media accounts, all of the followings, everything.
Wow.
Just had to let it go, which was crushing.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, because at that point, that was kind of our careers up until then. And we wanted to, more than anything, we wanted to own our work and have more agency over the things that we were creating, and not having to constantly answer to a lot of clueless men. I don't know why I feel nervous saying it, but it's true.
Well, because we don't talk about it. I mean, Dory and I have been through something through similar things. And because we're still existing in a patriarchy, right? Where those clueless men are in charge. So,
well, in podcasting,
oof, baby.
It was just like, I mean, like many other industries, has been so male dominated for so long. I feel like it's changing slowly, but especially Kristen, when you got started, I mean, it was just all dudes talking to each other and running stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it gets to feel kind of oppressive after a while.
Yeah. And it's funny thinking about when me and the original co-host for Stuff Mom Never Told You, Molly Edmonds, we went in to pitch Stuff Mom Never Told You, which we knew was going to be a hard sell at the time, because even in 2009, not very long ago, and I think we originally pitched in 2008, the idea of women focusing on women and gender was wildly niche. And I will never forget telling my male boss, it's not going to be a bunch of chick chat. You know, we'll bring the facts and have substantive conversations,
oh my God.
Which, I mean, hello, my younger self. but that was really the climate. And it took a long time for the powers that be to understand that it was a show worth having. And I think for a long time, it was sort of, what's that? The saying about like low expectations, like I think we did benefit kind of from the very low expectations of our bosses, because they didn't really keep much of an eye on us because they didn't really care about what we were doing and they didn't think that it was going to make enough money. So we were able to, especially once Caroline came on board and we really became the work wives that we are today, we were, thanks to their low expectations, we were able to leave on our own terms, and we couldn't take anything with us, but we were nonetheless able to go and start something of our own, much to the surprise of some of those men that we left behind, who just assumed that we would never make it on our own.
Wow. You have. And you've done an amazing job kind of creating your own space. How did you both, like, were there moments of self-doubt? And I'm wondering, like, what is the secret to learning your own value and owning that? Because I'm still working on that. And it comes with a lot of kind of questioning and wondering if you're like, you know, and self-doubt. And did you ever, either of you ever have to work through that as you did this?
Every day?
Short answer, yes.
Yeah.
still am?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, self-doubt in every direction, right? Am I smart enough? Am I hardworking enough? Will anyone listen? Will anyone read what we wrote in our book? Will anyone come to a show that we put on? And I knew that something had shifted when the other day, not too long ago, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who was talking about her nerves around asking for more money at her like regular non-podcasting day job. And I just gave her like some super, like, you know what you're worth. Like, you know that this is bullshit, that they're not paying you enough, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I reflected on that conversation after the fact and was like, I don't know if I would have been so just like blindly confident 10 years ago when I started podcasting with Kristen. But I don't know. There's something about sort of going through the professional and personal ringer to create something that I definitely feel more comfortable in knowing my worth, but there are still questions every day about, can I pull it off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the main things that I've had to face down and am still working through is just a massive fear of failure. Yeah. and learning how to, as one of my therapists puts it, embracing versus bracing. Because I'm a bracer. I like brace for impact. I'm constantly running through worst case scenarios and kind of courting catastrophe in my mind. And I have been really working in the past few years, especially to kind of unlearn those instincts and embrace the possibility of failure, which feels so, so unnatural to me. And one of the things about striking out on our own and becoming our own bosses that I did not anticipate, that really threw me for a loop, was how much of my own kind of fear of failure and my own sort of issues I had been projecting onto my former, like, annoying male boss. Like, he was a clueless dude. Of course, like, all of the reasons why I'm not, you know, achieving the things that I want to achieve is because this guy, you know, he doesn't get it and he has terrible ideas and it's just, it's all patriarchy, right? Which, some of that, yes. But also, then once we were out and it was like, oh, okay, well, now it's up to us. Now I'm the annoying boss. Oh, well, what do I do with all this frustration? Because I'm, you know, automatically not just magically succeeding at everything. And it really forced me to confront a lot of the ways that I'd been kind of juking and dodging from my own insecurities. And Caroline and I are also just big proponents of therapy. I mean,
amen.
Yep. Yeah. Love my therapist.
Yeah. Yeah. And creating, I think for the both of us too, creating safe spaces for each other to be emotionally honest with where we are on any given day. Like, if one of us is in an anxiety spiral, feeling safe to just say that. And it makes such a big difference.
That's a really powerful aspect of working together, is allowing for those moments, right? Like, that's, we don't always get that when our workspaces are created by other people. So it's interesting that you've made that happen for yourselves.
But also, like, what a degree of self-awareness that you have. Oof. To acknowledge that
some of what you were feeling before was projection. I mean, that's a really hard thing to wrap your head around, I think. Yeah. So I'm impressed by that.
I mean, honestly, I had no other choice but to do that because I had reached a point of feeling like I was kind of banging my head against the wall. And I just kind of had to face myself in a way, because it was either like, oh, okay, well, you can either just continue avoiding this and flush unladylike down the toilet because you're not going to be able to get it done by avoiding it, or you can get back into therapy, be more vulnerable with your work wife, and really start working on it. And the year that Caroline and I both quit our job. So I quit my job Halloween of 2016. So it was the same year as well that I got married. And I feel like in a lot of ways, like those two relationships, like Caroline and I became work wives on a deeper level. I got married. And then it's funny how in some ways, like those growing relationships have mirrored each other in terms of, you know, times when Caroline and I will butt heads and we've had to work through things together in a very kind of couples therapy kind of way. And not in like a creepy, like codependent sort of way, but in a way I think has made us stronger and also made our work better because of it. I hope, Caroline, I'm speaking for you now, so you might have a different story.
Yeah, no, I do agree that it makes the work better, but it also makes it easier when we are able to really get on the same page and go full steam ahead. It only makes what we're doing better and easier and more fun.
Yeah. Could you help us examine the idea of self-care through an intersectional feminist lens? I mean, no pressure, obviously. That's a big ask. But I do think that the way you examine things on your show is very helpful in kind of deconstructing all these systems and expectations. And self-care is very fraught, right? Like, because in many ways, it's trivialized. In other ways, it is like used for harm and perpetuating harm. And in other ways, it's like it's very necessary and important. And so I know like this is something I've personally struggled with of like, how much am I participating in harmful systems when I talk about self-care, I practice self-care, or how much am I actually taking care of myself for the better? And I'm curious how you navigate this personally and also kind of intellectually.
On the one hand, I fully understand that I enjoy a degree of privilege that allows me to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. And that is, that's financial privilege. That's time privilege. That's just, it's privilege across the board. And that I get to speak with someone who understands me and my circumstances in my life, as opposed to having a therapist who does not know where I'm coming from or does not understand me. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, I would be a terrible person if I didn't go to therapy. And I'm not saying that that applies to other people. I'm just saying that for me personally, if I hadn't been open enough to be vulnerable in therapy, one, and with Kristen, two, I would just be a nightmare of like a mental health equivalent of Pigpen from the Peanuts. And so my privilege allows me to go to a wonderful therapist. But it's also so, so necessary for me.
Caroline, I don't want to totally put you on the spot, but when we were writing our Unladylike book, you ran across sort of the origins of even the concept of self-care that blew my mind. And I was wondering if I don't know if any, maybe some of that like background.
Yeah. So, you know, we, a lot of times, and rightfully so, chalk up the more political concept of self-care to Audre Lorde. And I think that that's absolutely credit where credit's due, as self-care as a concept, as a political idea. But the more...
Can I interrupt you real quick? Could you tell our listeners who might not know who Audre Lorde is?
Oh, sure. Audre Lorde is a poet, a writer. Well, I should say the late Audre Lorde was a poet and a writer and a scholar. And in her beautiful writing, she talks about how for her as a queer Black woman, taking care of herself, performing self-care is an act of political resistance.
Caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. And that is an act of political warfare. Is that the right one?
Yes. But the actual, like, more medical, health-wise individual definition of self-care comes from a nurse named Dorothy Odom. And it was, she meant it very literally in terms of we measure self-care by how someone is able to care for themselves. Can they feed themselves properly, get the proper nutrition, get exercise? And so it had a much more, sort of literal concept from the get-go.
So then how do you navigate doing these things for yourselves? Or how do you navigate, for example, you mentioned your like skincare and serum practice. And this is something I think about a lot. Are we buying into patriarchal bullshit when we buy a bunch of skincare products? Are we truly doing it for ourselves? Does it even matter?
Yes. yeah, no, I, if I were not steeped in the same patriarchal brew that the rest of us are, I wouldn't care about my wrinkles. I wouldn't care about my zits. But I am, we all are. And so, yes, I do have a budget item in my budget for Sephora. This is a true fact. And ultimately I don't care though. And that's one thing that, being a part of Unladylike has done for me is helped me say I don't care more and more. I think the important thing is to be aware of where these attitudes and ideas come from, that they exist, but the two things can be true. I can be steeped in patriarchal bullshit and hate my wrinkles unnecessarily. I can also enjoy putting creams on my face and having it soothe me, and be a nice entry into my day. Yeah. Two things are true.
Two things are true. I feel like I should tattoo that on my forehead.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, we are back.
I hate to switch gears abruptly, but I'm going to. steer this boat back to skincare for a second, for a hot second, for both of you, because I do want to know specifically, Caroline, what are these things that you do enjoy putting on your face? And then, Kristen, I think it would be really interesting for our audience to hear about your experience with perioral dermatitis, because that is something Dory, I can't remember who it is, but someone else just said they were dealing with this, another guest. I cannot remember who.
Yeah, did just come up and I don't remember who it was.
And I think it's a very common thing that happens. And it's also interesting that it happened to you in your mid to late 30s. So, Caroline, if you don't mind just rattling off your list, telling us some faves, and then Kristen, I'd love to hear even just what you are using, the bare minimum, to kind of help you through it.
Sure. Okay. So I use Aveeno foaming face wash, the extra gentle kind that's like peach colored. I use that at night to wash my face. Then I will use sometimes like the Thayer's toner. Then I slather on Sunday Riley Good Jeans. I am a Sunday Riley Good Jeans devotee. Devotee?
Wow.
Yes. It ain't cheap, but it works. And I hate that it works. God, I hate that it works. Then I put on, a retinol eye cream from Rock. And then slather my moisturizer that I'm on right now is Confidence in a Cream, the night cream. It's in like a light yellow jar. I slather that over top of everything after like 10 minutes of it setting in. Then I've got Dr. Brandt, like vitamin C retinol neck cream. I'm getting crepey.
I am too. I am too. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling bad about my neck, yeah. And I don't want to be.
I know. I have that book from Nora Ephron. It's on my to read list. I feel bad about my neck. And I do feel bad about it, and I wish I didn't, but I do. And then, okay, during the day, I wake up in the morning because I shower at night. I wake up in the morning, I get my Garnier micellar water. How do you pronounce that?
We still don't know.
Okay.
We've talked about it for 3 years.
It's been an endless debate, yeah.
That special water that costs like $7, in a bottle. I do that. Then I do a vitamin C cream, which, hack for y'all, Sephora often offers various vitamin C creams as their little like bonus treats. And you can get a lot of them if you split up your orders into multiple orders. I'm just saying, that's how I've ended up. It's now May.
Ooh.
It's now May, and I have not paid for vitamin C cream this year.
Ooh, I see what you're doing. You are saying, like, I'm going to order a bunch of things, but I'm going to divide the orders so I can keep getting this little sample.
Yes.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to play the system. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, vitamin C cream, and then I do a, I have a, I think it's Bobbi Brown, like vitamin-enriched eye base thing. I switch up my eye cream during the day a lot. And then over that, because I'm oily, I don't really need a day moisturizer. I slather Super Goop sunscreen all over my face and now my neck, because I need to freeze time. And I also hate that I feel that pressure, but I do. So, yeah, that's I think that's not even makeup, but I don't wear makeup except for the weekend. So, yeah, that about sums it up.
That was a beautiful journey.
Yeah. Thank you for taking us on it.
Okay, so now we switch over to Kristen with the perioral dermatitis situation.
Ooh, yeah. Get ready for a really exciting regimen, y'all. So in the morning, I wash my face with a CeraVe face wash and gently slather my face in some CeraVe all-day moisturizing cream, and maybe a little bit of some sunscreen in there too. I might put on some mascara, and we call it a day. And then at the end of the day, I get out my CeraVe hydrating face wash, and then put the lotion on, and then get on into bed. It is literally, my dermatologist was like, okay, you don't use anything but CeraVe, because if you develop perioral dermatitis, which basically looks like acne but worse, and the perioral is Latin for around your mouth. So it starts for me like kind of around my lips and down my chin and around my kind of chin strap area, jawline. And I've just been watching it. I'm going through a breakout right now, and I've just been watching it go from right to left, just taking over my face.
Wow.
I had never heard of it until last year, when all of a sudden I got the worst breakout I've ever had, like to the point where it's the painful breakout where you can feel your skin constantly. And it was to the point that, granted, this was also mid-pandemic, but I didn't even want to go to a dermatologist because I didn't even want anyone like touching my skin. Grateful for masks, because at least like it would cover it up when I would go out in public. Otherwise, like I just never been that deeply self-conscious about it. So thanks to the pandemic, my dermatologist was offering virtual visits where you just take like 1,000 unflattering selfies and submit them and let her know your routine. And so I did that, and she was like, oh, this is, you have acne and perioral dermatitis, but we have to take care of the PO. Whatever, PD, perioral dermatitis. It's a mouthful. We have to take care of that first, and then we can work on the acne. And she instructed me to just stop using anything but a very gentle face wash and moisturizer. Because I think part of what triggered it the last time was, you know, we were bored. This was early in quarantine. Like, everyone was going to have a glow up, right? So I started, you know, experimenting with different oils and products and masks and things like that. And I think that partly something inflamed my skin. And this go around, I think it might honestly be largely stress induced. Yeah. That's my pet theory. But yeah, that's my very, very unglamorous regimen. But I do, in terms of self-care, I do practice a little bit of, it feels not so much like self-care, but maybe self-delusion. Have y'all ever talked about a little product called Frownies?
Oh, yes.
Yes, Frownies have come up.
Yes, my husband went through a phase of wearing Frownies at some point, like 5-10 years ago. Yes. Do you use them?
So I have been using them. I've been kind of on a break lately because... I'll just share this too. One side effect of my antidepressant is night sweats. So it just gets, y'all, it just gets sexier and sexier, really. and Frownies, for those of y'all who don't know, are like basically stickers that you put on your wrinkles to hold your face in place while you sleep. But since it's an adhesive, if I have a particularly sweaty night, I'll wake up so disappointed because like the sticker will be just like down like on my mouth or something. Like it just slid off in the middle of the night.
Your frowning is trying to kill you. It just slowly slides over your nose. Like,
exactly. but I started using them at the end of the year after Unladylike did an episode on Botox, and I have a very, very deep wrinkle in between my eyebrows to the point that now when I see my father, he just like really likes to stare closely at it and just say, "Oh, are you okay?
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Did you get that from me?" I'm just like looking horrified. It is the wrinkle that does bug me because it's right in between my eyebrows. So it just amplifies any like resting bitch face I have going on. And, you know, it's kind of an angry line. And we did this episode on Botox and wrinkles, and I mentioned this and we got a tip from a listener who was like, "Hey, listen, if you don't want to spring for Botox and you have some patience, try Frownies." So I don't know that they work, but if I'm able to stay dry through the night and can get it to stay on all night, it really is a lift in the morning when I peel it off, because for at least the first hour of the day, it has smoothed out that wrinkle.
Wow.
So I do look fresh when I wake up.
But okay.
I say it's self-delusion because it's not, you know, by the time I've like had a shower and I'm ready for the day, she's settled back in. But you know,
returns for more.
I get a momentary lift though. But that says it's also like the one thing that I can, you know, since I can't indulge in serums and potions, I'm just putting old Hollywood stickers on my face, like,
hey, why
like
not?
Like Betty Davis and those old gals used to do.
You know, they make them for your cleavage too.
Oof.
Because when you sleep at night, you know, and your boobs, you know, when you're
people
just
have asked us about these.
Yeah.
I've only seen them in the backs of trashy magazines. And I don't mean porn mags. I mean like Us Weekly. I realized as soon as I said trashy magazines that sounded questionable.
Well, y'all, this has been so wonderful to have you on.
So fun.
I mean, I could just gab all day. Where can our listeners find you both individually and also learn everything about Unladylike Media, listen, read, get everything from you?
I am at the Caroline Irv on Instagram and Twitter. And we are at Unladylike Media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yes. And I have become woefully delinquent in my personal social media practices, which is something that I do need to work on. Got to face that, y'all. but in the meantime, you can find me at all of the Unladylike Media things.
And we should also tell our listeners that we are doing an episode of your show. So they should check out Unladylike to hear us.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And you can find all of our episodes and our book and all sorts of fun things at our website, which is unladylike.co. No M, because we're spicy.
And listen, right. Y'all are going to want to tune into the Forever 35 Unladylike podcast because it's an advice episode. And we got some doozeroos.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, you guys. This was so fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much.
I don't get to talk about skincare that often, so this was fun.
This is why we have the show.
Well, they were just very cool.
That was fun.
That was super fun.
Super fun. It's been a real, I will say, and this is a little bit in the weeds, but it's really been a pleasure getting to talk to other podcasters so much this year. I feel like we've done a lot of interviews with other pods, and it's just been, I feel like we share a cool connection with them. Is that too emo? Like, I just want to, like, get everybody, every podcaster together for, like, a big slumber party.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Would it? It would be
fun.
Yeah,
it would. It would be fun.
I would need to sleep on a bed. I don't think I could sleep on the floor anymore.
Yeah.
I would be the high maintenance person at the slumber party. You know how there's always one.
Yeah, I hear that.
Well, Dory, tell us about your intention last week.
Okay. So I have to be honest. We are recording this before my birthday. Mm-hmm. And my intention had been to, like, figure out something to do on my birthday. And I have, like, a vague idea, but it's also, I don't know, it's going to be a little chilly on my birthday. I mean, chilly for LA. But whatever. I'm going to take some time for myself and it'll be fine. Yes. And then this week, I'm going to take a cue from Kate Spencer. Yes. And I'm going to schedule my week and see how that goes.
Are you going to come do the planner sprint with me?
I've been dabbling in it. Like, I've been scheduling when I'm going to exercise and when I'm going to practice the piano.
And you follow the schedule?
I've been mostly following it. So that's been good. And it's just, like, nice to have that time allotted, you know?
Definitely.
But I want to get, oh, and also I signed up for Calendly, you know?
Oh, interesting. Yes.
And someone had reached out to me about, something about my book and was like, can we talk about this more? And I said, yes, please pick a time.
That's amazing.
I felt so, like, efficient.
Maybe I should do that. That's a great idea because it connects to your calendar and then you can just be like, here's when I'm free.
Yes. Yes. And you can, it knows when you're free and then you can tell it, like, between what time and what time you want to set meetings and you can block off days and.
Ooh, baby.
And it was just nice instead of being like, so I'm free on blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Are you know what I mean? Like the back and forth. It pulls in my personal calendar and my Forever 35 calendar.
There we go.
It knows not to schedule things on those at those times either.
Okay. Well, you've inspired me. I'm going to set up a Calendly.
Ooh, maybe we should set one up for the podcast.
100%.
For those meetings that we have to schedule. Together.
Here we go. Oh, well, Calendly, look out. We're coming
here we come.
For you. Here we come.
You haven't seen anything like us yet.
No, okay. You've never met two people like us. Oh my God.
How did the meal planning go?
It went reasonably well.
Okay.
I made shake and bake pork chops, which I haven't had since I was a child.
I have a really dumb question.
There's no such thing, but yes.
Is shake and bake just like seasoning?
Yes. It's like breadcrumbs and seasoning that you buy at the store. And there's a million recipes to make your own with, like, probably quote unquote better ingredients. But I was like, I don't need this shit. I don't need to sit here and measure spices. Just give me the pre-made original. And so I did.
Right.
Boy, it was delish. I made myself Julia Tertian's like ricotta and potato chip salmon cakes to have for lunch this week. Those are so good.
Oh, those are so good.
Ugh. And so I've been munching on those. And I just, so that has gone okay. And then this week, you know, as Dory, you know, offline, because all I do is text you about how stressed I am. I'm on a really hard deadline for my book. And by hard, I mean like, it can't be moved. It's getting turned in, baby. And it just means that like all my self-care has gone out the window. You know, I'm like up until 11:30, crunched over my computer. I also have my period. Like I just don't feel good. I'm like such an all or nothing self-care person, if that makes sense. Like when I'm stressed, it's like, forget it. I'm not exercising. I'm not going to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not bathing. It's just like, I just become a little, you know, a little unhinged. So I have a few more days like this, but what I was thinking is that a bath would feel really nice. A warm bath.
Mm-hmm.
I could watch the episode of Call My Agent that I haven't gotten to see yet that I've been holding on to. So I'm going to try to just give myself that. Like, some point this week, I have a big, warm bath waiting for me with a lot of lavender-scented Epsom salts.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Well, you know, like, a lot of times the line is like, baths aren't really what self-care is. And I would say, like, they are part of it for sure. And
yeah, sometimes they are.
They could really help both my mental health and the way my physical body is feeling right now. So, it's bath time for me.
Great.
This week.
Okay.
Well, everybody, we appreciate you listening. And we, of course, want you to know that Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dora Shafrir and Kate Spencer. And it's produced and edited by Sammy Junio. And Sam Reed is our project manager. And our network partner is Acast.
It's true. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.